Thank you very much. So until 2 years ago, I was on the faculty at the Family and Community Medicine Division at Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia, and we did a multi-year project to try to improve the management of chronic disease across the state of Pennsylvania. And I became quite interested in the process of doing that on the in the impact of climate change on people who had chronic disease. And living close to Philadelphia and working every day in downtown Philadelphia, I learned firsthand what it meant to be an EPA non-attainment zone, which is something that I was previously unfamiliar with. And so 2 years ago, I moved over to George Mason, where I direct a program on climate and health that's within the Center for Climate Change Communication. So I have no financial relationships to disclose, and I'm going to talk about surveys of several physician societies. We've been partnering with health organizations and medical societies to understand what physicians in particular are seeing out there with regard to climate change in their patients. And so I'm going to talk a little bit first about why bother to survey physicians, and then what we've learned from those surveys and from their thoughts and their experience, and what should potentially be done with that knowledge. So why survey clinicians? Well, the U.S. National Climate Assessment and the IPCC reports tell us that people are currently suffering the health effects of climate change, and we hypothesize that if that were true, that practicing physicians should be seeing those effects. And we wanted to assess their attitudes, their interests, their willingness to engage also. And in addition, since clinical professionals still have the public trust, we felt that they were an important group to understand, and physicians and nurses are the most trusted health professionals, and somewhere at the bottom there is politicians and lobbyists. So they also have good access to the public, and they're used to explaining science to the public. Most people don't know a climate scientist, but almost everybody knows a doctor. And so there are multiple reasons that we wanted to understand what they were thinking. So we partnered with three societies, the National Medical Association, the American Thoracic Society, and the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology. And most of the questions on the survey, but not all of them, were the same. We distributed the surveys mainly by email using a specialized software, and they were sent in over 900 members of the National Medical Association, 5,400 of the American Thoracic Society, and over 5,400 of the allergists, and I'll refer to them as Quad AI, which is how they refer to themselves. And we had 2,300 responders. The response rates were 17%, 22%, and 30%, respectively. Every state except North Dakota was represented, and the confidence intervals based on the sample and the response rates were plus or minus 3%. And we did look at gender and age and the state of work of the respondents compared to the non-respondents, and we did not find significant differences there. So we asked them whether they thought climate change was happening, and overwhelmingly they said yes, and in numbers that are much larger than the population in general. For the public, it's over 60%, somewhere between 60 and 65%. You can see that physicians here are farther, much further along than that. And then whether they thought that climate change over the last 150 years was entirely caused by human activity, mostly caused by human activity, or equally, and so on. And you can see that the overwhelming majority recognized human agency in climate change. And then we asked them whether they thought it was relevant to direct patient care, and two-thirds of them said that it was relevant a great deal or a moderate amount, and then another 20% said it was relevant a little. Then we asked them whether they thought that climate change was specifically affecting the health of their own patients, and have some problems with the incompatibility there between the system and my flash drive, but the yellow and the brown over on the right are those who felt that climate change was affecting the health of their patients a great deal in the yellow or a moderate amount in the brown, and then the blue is a little. And this varied by society. So for the thoracic society, which is mainly lung physicians and critical care docs, and the National Medical Association, they felt their patients were being directly affected to a larger extent than the allergists did. And that makes sense given the kind of medicine that they all practice. But I'm going to give you some numbers that go along with this. So we asked then about specific kinds of health effects, air pollution-related effects, pneumonia, lung disease, asthma, allergy symptoms, injuries due to storms, heat effects, vector-borne infections, and diarrhea from food or waterborne infections. And you can see there that the numbers that felt that air pollution-related problems were affecting their own patients were very large. It was over 75%. And with regard to allergies, it was also quite a large majority. It was over 60%. Injuries due to storms, 57%, and then so on. And in every single one of those categories, the numbers went up when we asked what they thought was going to happen 10 to 20 years from now. And you could see those numbers here. Air pollution went up a little bit. Allergy symptoms went up to almost 70%. Injuries, rose, and so did the other numbers. And the only one that still had less than 50% of physicians thinking that their own patients were going to be affected was diarrhea from food and waterborne infections. And given the confidence interval of 3%, that may have been closer to 50% or somewhat closer to 40%. So how do we know that these responses of theirs reflect reality? Well, we asked them for specific patient anecdotes, and they gave us real patients with real histories that were known to their own physicians. And so this amounted to some qualitative data that that we have from these open-ended questions. And I want to give you a few examples. So with regard to storms, fires, and droughts, here's one, a National Medical Association practitioner who said, "My practice works with injury, and the area in which I work has been affected by flooding and increased snowfall, both as a consequence of climate change, which has increased episodes of back injury from snow removal and water removal." Then with regard to heat, we have an American Thoracic Society doc who said, "Many of my patients with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease describe worsened shortness of breath with increased temperatures. They are having a harder time each summer." With regard to air pollution, this again is an ATS doc. And he said, or this doctor said, "Wildfires throughout 2013 have resulted in increased exacerbations in asthma patients, cardiac failure patients, and severe wheezing episodes among former chronic obstructive pulmonary disease patients." With regard to asthma, we have another quote from an ATS practitioner who said, "Recent rainfall and flooding increased patient in-home exposure to mold and humidity. This resulted in asthma emergency visits and hospitalizations." And then with regard to allergy, we have a Quad AI practitioner quote, "I've been in practice in the same location in the Pacific Northwest for over 25 years. I've watched a generation grow up in my practice. Suddenly I'm seeing 21 to 25-year-olds coming in for significant hay fever symptoms much earlier than when I started in 1989. And we have many quotes like this. This is just a few examples. So then we asked them how knowledgeable they felt about the association between climate change and health impacts. And interestingly, over 50% felt they were only modestly knowledgeable or not at all knowledgeable. And about 40% said they were very knowledgeable or moderately knowledgeable. We asked them who they thought was being mostly affected by these problems. And they all pretty much recognized these groups as the more affected groups: people with chronic diseases, young children ages 0 to 4, people over the age of 60, and people living near or below the poverty line. Then we asked them a whole series of measures or resources that might be helpful to them. And specifically with regard to policy statements provided by my professional associations would be helpful. You can see that over 70% agreed or strongly agreed with that statement. We asked about medical education, especially given that we had queried them about how knowledgeable they felt. And we had over 70% who felt that undergraduate medical education should include instruction on the health impacts of climate change. 75% felt that they personally would like continuing medical education on climate change and health. And then we asked them, we gave them the statements, physicians have a responsibility to bring the health effects of climate change to the attention of the public and to the attention of their patients. And you can see that in both cases, the majority felt that physicians do have this responsibility, and you know, the numbers were impressive and unexpected, really, by us. Then we gave them the statement, physicians should have a leadership role in encouraging offices, clinics, and hospitals to be as environmentally sustainable as possible. And here you can see that 75% agreed with that, strongly agreed or agreed. We asked them to leave their name on a separate page if they wish to be more involved in education or advocacy, and we separated the page because this was a confidential survey, and so we created a whole separate area where they could leave their name and their contact information. And we did get responses. Only two of the societies chose to do that, Quad AI and the National Medical Association. And so we got about 90 allergists and about 150 members of the NMA who were interested in becoming more involved. And then we performed follow-up interviews with some of those folks. And what we found was that the people who were willing to be interviewed were much more likely to already be quite active. So some of them were being interviewed by local media outlets. They were doing education in their communities. They were delivering grand rounds. So, you know, these were folks, the ones who volunteered, their contact information, were by and large people who were already involved. Not all of them. And, of course, our mission is to engage more of them in activities. Okay, so what are the opportunities here for engaging people who practice clinical care? Well, there's education, advocacy, policy changes, and then based on the response to the question that we got, engaging them in sustainability activities. So with regard to education and awareness, clinical professionals, like public health professionals, are in a very good position to carry the message that climate affects health, that climate change affects health, that our climate, our health, and that this is a great health opportunity, and if we don't take advantage of it, we could lose a great deal. We could lose a lot of the advances, health advances of the last 50 years. And the reason that clinical practitioners and public health people are especially good messengers in that regard is that our credibility is high in talking about health. We are seen as health experts, and so if you talk about something that you're a recognized expert in, you're likely to have more credibility. People in press and government at all levels really need to hear this message. We know from other surveys that very few people are actually talking about climate change in their personal conversations. Work that's been done at my center by Ed Maybach and by Tony Lasserowitz, going back 8 years now, shows that many people understand that climate change is happening, but very few are actually having conversations about it. Or what to do about it. Some are, so they've segmented the population into what they call the six Americas, with the alarmed and the concerned at one end. That's about 45%, and the doubtful and the dismissive at the other end, and that's about 25%. But the actual number of conversations that people are engaging in, regardless of where they are in that spectrum, is actually relatively few. So my center director, Ed Maybach, likes to say, simple messages repeated often by trusted messengers. Simple messages repeated often by trusted messengers. That's the way to get things across. And so I want to pass on those words of wisdom. I think, you know, they're really powerful words. It's a powerful concept. You know, all too often we forget about that. So work that's been done at the center also shows that the health frame for talking about climate change works better than a lot of other frames. You can talk about it as a sustainability issue. You can talk about the economics of it. You can talk about it, you know, in other ways. But if you talk about it from a health point of view, it's a more acceptable message to a larger swath of the population. And so another piece of talking about it than what I already have mentioned is using values. People respond to the values conversations, and good values to include in your message are protection, preparation, sustainability, resilience, stewardship. These are all positive concepts. And they're positive concepts that people respond to. There's been research that's shown that people respond to these concepts. And so if you are going to be talking about this to your colleagues or to, you know, friends, family, the public in general, people that you work with, recommend that you use that kind of language. Okay, so what exactly does sustainability mean in clinical settings? You know, we saw that physicians are really interested in this. And it means some very straightforward things, but things that are not that hard to achieve, but that do need a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of encouragement. And so that's energy efficiency, it's use of renewable energy, it's how we are transported or commute, what to do about solid waste and recycling, water efficiency, and things like drug disposal and chemical disposal. And there is a website currently called My Green Doctor, I think it's mygreendoctor.org, which is a project of the Florida Medical Association, which has some of this information available for clinicians, and we're working to try to make information like that more accessible. So in conclusion, the overwhelming majority of physicians, we think, based on the work that we've done, know that climate change is happening and that it's mostly human-caused. They believe it has health implications for their patients and that they're already seeing them. They support policy involvement of their societies, education for themselves, medical students, the public, their patients, and they wish to be involved in this. They have a strong interest in sustainability, and building on this knowledge is an important priority. Thanks.